And welcome to our Bible class, and we're going to be looking at our fifth lesson on what makes a person. And this morning we're going to look at the will. And I do trust that you have a will, because you don't want to die without one. Sorry, that's the best joke I could come up with this morning, but we're going to be talking about the human will. And get my right page here. We learn that we're trichotomous. We believe in body, soul, and spirit. But when it comes to a person, or a what we call a personality, personality is also made up of three different parts. First of all, there's the emotions. That's part of who we are. We're emotional people. We have feelings. Of sadness and gladness and madness and all kinds of different emotions that we have. And then we have our intellect. This is our thinking, our knowledge, our reasoning, and also I would say our memory as well. We have memory. Now, joking with Lewis there earlier about, you know, sometimes when we get older, our memory, our short-term memory isn't, you know, what it used to be. Joking, I forgot the conversation that we just had 30 seconds before. And some of you might say, yeah, I understand that completely. We have good long-term memories, right? At least I think our long-term memory can be better. I remember license plates, phone numbers from when I was a kid. I remember my phone number when I was 5 years old. And it took me 4 years to memorize the church's phone number here. And, you know, it's harder to memorize things, because I say, and my mom used to say this, there's too much information on the hard drive. Yeah. And so, but our memories are part of what make us a person as well. We have memory, which is an incredible thing. You think about memory. We're able to remember so many things of the past. So we have intellect, we have emotions, and also we have a will. And that will is our desires, our choosing, and our deciding. And every one of us has a will. Every one of us was born with all three parts of our personalities: the emotion, the will, and the intellect. Let me ask you a question. Have you made a decision today? Yeah. What did you decide, Keith? You decided to get out of bed. Your wife helped with that decision. Who else made a decision today? What decision did you make? You made a decision to brush your teeth. And all of God's people said, Amen, especially Kathy. Who else made a decision? Connor, what decision did you make? All right. You decided extra large and you... medium. Okay. She's more spiritual. All you coffee drinkers, you know. And did we make any major decisions this morning? Probably not. We didn't make any major decisions, but we all make decisions. Every day we make decisions. And making decisions is part of what makes us a human being. It's part of what makes us a person, having the ability to make decisions. I made hundreds, honestly, if you think about it, I made hundreds of decisions today. So did you already. If you really stop and think about it, I decided to turn left. I decided to turn right. I decided to put my foot on the brake. I decided to put my foot on the gas. I decided what tie I was going to wear. I decided, you know, what socks I was going to put on. You decide, again, you brush your teeth, how much toothpaste you're going to put on your... There are literally hundreds of decisions that we don't even think about. We just do them. But really, they're decisions. We make decisions constantly every day. And so when we think about decisions, these three components of a person, I want us to look at some verses here. Timothy, could I get you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30? And Connor, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. And Kyle, Ephesians. Oh, I got that. Hang on. Kyle, turn to Luke 22 and verse 42. Luke 22 and verse 42. I think I know where the mistake was there. So when we read these verses, think about whether they fall under these categories. Is it the will, is it the intellect, or is it the emotions of a person, or even God that they might be talking about here? So first of all, I think I asked for Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Okay, is that the will, intellect, or emotions there of the Holy Spirit? Okay, emotions. I would say emotions there. Grieving is again playing on to the emotions of something. The next one that I asked for there, I think it was 1 Corinthians 2:16. Okay, what's that talking about? Intellect, yeah, talking about the intellect. And then finally, Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. Okay, so obviously the will. And we could look at Psalms chapter 2 and verse 4, Psalms 7, 11, Isaiah 46, 10 and 11, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, Romans 11, 33 and 34, talking about the will of the Spirit there. We can look at a lot of verses in the Bible that not only show that a person has a will, that has intellect, a person has emotions, but God as well. God, Jesus wept and Jesus showed emotion. Jesus, he carried out his will, not my will, but thine be done. His emotions as well, his intellect, we know the mind of the Lord. Let me ask a question now. This is going to be an interesting question. Do animals have a will? And everyone might be afraid to answer that question. Now, it's an interesting question. Do animals have a will? Now, does a robin make a decision to build a nest? Is it a decision, or is it an instinct? It's an instinct. Do salmon make a decision? You know what? I think it's time for me to swim up the river and spawn. It's not a decision. It's an instinct, even to eat. Whatever. These are instincts and not necessarily decisions. You know, an animal doesn't make a decision what restaurant they're going to go to eat at. They just eat what they have, what their instinct tells them to eat. And for the most part, animals don't decide. They don't make decisions. Now, do people make decisions? We do. We make decisions. And it's an interesting thing that people are different than animals in our intelligence, and the fact that we have a mind, and it may be, I believe animals do have memory as well. One time, and I hope you don't think this is cruel or unusual punishment, but we have a shock collar on our dog. It doesn't hurt the dog, but it's just a very light electrical pulse. And he went towards this one corner one time, and he was going to go off the property, and so we gave him a little shock. And so every time from that point forward, he went out into that part of the backyard, he'd go to that corner, and he'd look in the woods and bark. There's something in there throwing lightning bolts at me. He remembered, you know, he knew those things. But every day, and as I mentioned, we've already made, if we stop and think about it, we've already made hundreds of decisions today. We've made decisions, whether we were aware of them or not. Every person uses his will, and we can use our will for right or for wrong. And people make hundreds of decisions every single day. What are five decisions that you made at the breakfast table if you ate breakfast today? Just even at the breakfast table, what are five decisions you made? What to eat, whether it's going to be Weetabix or Shreddies. How much to put in your bowl. Okay, what else? How long you were going to sit there, when you could get up and leave, right? How much milk you're, what's that? Yeah, or just kind of, you know, dive in, you know? How much milk you're going to put in, or if you're going to put milk, are you going to put, you know, yogurt in it, or are you going to put, there's so many decisions that we can make. Now, we would say these are unimportant decisions, you know, whether what kind of yogurt you're going to buy or whatever. These are unimportant decisions, but there's a lot of very important decisions that we have to make every day. Deciding whether we should go to college or deciding where we're going to work, whether we're going to drink alcohol or not, whether or who we're going to marry, deciding whether to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the most important decision that anyone can make, deciding how we're going to use our free time, deciding whether to forgive someone who has wronged us. That's a decision. Deciding whether I should live for myself or whether I should live for Christ, whether I should read my Bible every day, deciding whether I should tell other people about Christ. Amen. That's a decision. You meet somebody. I went to I think the world's only self-serve gas station yesterday, I believe it was, and had a good opportunity to talk to a guy. I made a decision, give him a gospel tract and talk to him for a little bit. He was really, really friendly and open, and I told him to come back and get more full service. Amen. Amen. Some of you don't remember full service gas stations, but anyways, we could go into that, but we won't. What are some of life's least important decisions? You know, whether I should get a hamburger, and if I go order a hamburger, should I get French fries or onion rings? Some people might look at that as being a big decision. Onion rings or French fries? You know, I've heard it split families. You know, big decisions. But you know, what are some minor decisions that we make every day? What to eat for breakfast? What kind of toothpaste we're going to buy? And you know, isn't advertising great? What is advertising meant to do? Persuade you to make a decision or to change your decisions. We want you to decide to use our product. We're going to give you 15 reasons in this short 30-second commercial why you should use our product rather than somebody else's. And swayed your decisions towards that. We have other minor decisions. What color shirt or pants or dress should I wear today? Not me in the dress. Some decisions that we make are decisions that involve saying no as well. Sometimes we need to use our will in a way that involves saying no. Some decisions involve saying yes, and that's maybe agreeing with someone. When is it right to say no? When is it right to say no? Temptation, when it's violating God's principle. When is it right to say yes? Now, there are some neutral decisions. I shouldn't say neutral, but there are some decisions to say no that are very important. When we say no to the world, when we say no to temptation, but you know, you go into Wendy's and they say, do you want a biggie size, your fries and your drink? And you say no. Yeah, it's not a huge decision. But if you say yes, you may end up being huge. So that's maybe why you said no. But we make decisions, some decisions not as important to say no, but some very, very important decisions to say no. Other decisions we say yes. What are important decisions that we need to say yes to? God's calling. God says, listen, hey, I want you to go here. I want you to go there. I want you to go to church. I want you to go to church. I want you to read your Bible. I want you to witness to that guy. I want you to do right. And that's the times when we've got to say yes. And, you know, when we think about decisions, is the devil going to try to dissuade our decisions? Is he going to try to sway? He's advertising. Amen. He advertises constantly in our minds to try to get us to make bad decisions. And you know, I've said this before. You know, if you remember old Flip Wilson, you know, his famous saying, "The devil made me do it." Well, the devil doesn't make you do anything, but he's going to advertise and he's going to try to sway you to do wrong. But he can't make you do wrong. And he's going to put all kinds of things in our mind. We can reason out, we can reason out anything in our minds. We can reason out why we shouldn't go to church. We can reason out why we shouldn't read our Bibles. We can reason out why we shouldn't witness to somebody, or why we shouldn't do this, or why we shouldn't do that. There's always a negative argument to anything. You know, again, you could fill in the blank about reasons that you could have not to go to church. You could fill in the blank reasons why you don't want to get out of bed in the morning. Amen. If we listen to that little voice, you know, you deserve to sleep in today. You know, you only got 12 hours sleep yesterday and 14 the day before, and so you really need, you know, that 16 today, and wouldn't it be nice to get even 12 hours sleep one of these days? Even 5 sometimes, but, you know, we can reason these things out. We're going to look at some scripture here. Keith, could I get you to look at Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37? And Lloyd, could I get you to turn to Proverbs chapter 1? I'm going to get you to read several scriptures there, so I'll tell you which ones when we get there. And I'm going to turn to Isaiah chapter 28. And when we read these scriptures, I want you to ask these three questions. What choice did God want man to make? What choice did man make? And was God pleased? So Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. Okay, so the first question there is, what choice did God want man to make? What did God want man to do? Come to him. What choice did man make? Rejection. Rejected him. And so was God pleased? No. No, God was not pleased. Who was the next one I asked there? Okay, Lloyd, read verses 10 to 15, Proverbs chapter 1. Okay, and then read verses 24 to 33. Okay, so what choice did God want man to make there? What was the choice? It was in the first parts of the verses there. Remove thy foot from evil. Stop being with the evil crowd. Stop running with the wicked. Stop running with the ungodly. Come out from they had become friends with the world, if you will. God says, I want you to come out. So what choice did man make? They refused to listen. They turned their backs. They said, God, we're not going to listen. And was God pleased? No, obviously not there. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 12, the Bible says there, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. And then in verse chapter 30 and verse 15, it says there, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. So again there, God was calling them again, asking them to come and be saved. They made a choice, they refused to come, and God obviously wasn't pleased. And according to Isaiah chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, man can either be willing and obedient, or man can refuse and rebel. Man has a choice. And we're going to be looking at some of this morning in the morning message about man's choice. Man can either be willing and obedient, or they can refuse and rebel, just like a child can do that to his father and his mother as well. They can be willing and obedient, or they can refuse and rebel. We find this in all areas of life, but here towards God, we can either choose to obey and do what God asks, and this is where we're basically aligning our will up with God's will. Let me ask you this question. Which of these two choices best describes you? Are you willing and obedient? Or do you refuse and rebel at what God wants and what God says? And again, I believe in any situation in life, we've got to ask ourselves if what we're doing is pleasing to God. And then ask ourselves, are we being willing and obedient to God, or are we refusing and rebelling against what God wants us to do? God says, hey, listen, you know what? Hand out that tract. Talk to that person about the Lord. Read your Bible this morning. Do right. Whatever it may be. And you're saying, well, I've got a choice. I'm either going to do what God wants, or I'm going to go and do what I want. You know, in our flesh can want something completely different than what God wants and desire something different than what God desires. You know, I think about every Sunday, you know, a beautiful, beautiful day today. It's a little bit cool, but it's a beautiful day, amen? We've had a lot of rain, and it's a beautiful day. And how many people this morning made a decision to say, you know what, I haven't been out in my boat all week. I haven't been out in the golf course all week because of the rain. You know what? This is my only day I'm going to get to go. So I'm just going to have to lay church aside today. And I'm going to have to, you know, this is just the decision I'm making. Now, is that a decision of willingness and obedience, or is that a decision of refusal and rebellion? And the importance... turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. The importance of making the right decisions. I'll get somebody to read verse 8 in Daniel there. Okay, so what decision there did Daniel make? His decision ultimately was to honor God. And that decision was not to eat the king's meat and not to drink the king's wine, understanding it was, you know, sacrificed to God. It was a sacrifice to gods. It was and all of the different things that surround the reasons why he chose not to partake of that particular food, because it was honoring to God. But stop and think about it for a minute. Think about the peer pressure. Thinking, you know what? Everyone else is doing it. Everyone else is bowing down, and everyone else is doing these different things. But listen, Daniel made a different decision than a lot of the other people who just said, "Ah, yeah, well, what's the big deal? This king, the king's meat. What's the big deal about his food? It's not that important." You know, he could have reasoned it out in his mind. You know, well, I don't have a choice because, you know, we're actually captives here, and, you know, he's going to make me eat it, or you know, we're taken captive, and it's God's fault, because if he didn't want me to eat this food, he would have, you know, made sure we didn't get taken captive. And he could have made all kinds of excuses why, hey, I've got no choice, I've got to do it. But he said, listen, I'm not concerned about the consequences. I'm not concerned about what may befall me. I'm making a decision to do right. I'm saying no, but I'm saying yes to God. And so, again, he made that decision. What important choices did Israel in Elijah's day need to make in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21? I'll get you to turn there. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. I'll just have you look at that verse. 1 Kings 18 and verse 21. What important choice did the Israelites in Elijah's day have to make? Yeah, they had to make a choice between God and Baal. Who are you going to serve? Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. How many people have that verse somewhere in their house? But choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, and of course there is more to it, but if you want to serve all of those gods that were on the other side of the flood, you go ahead. You can serve them. You can make that choice. If you want to serve those gods, you can do that. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve God. We're going to serve the God of Israel, the one who brought us over that flood, the one who's given us life, the one who's brought it, or bringing us into the promised land, the one who's done all of these things. I am the one who's making that decision, and I'm making it for my family, and we are going to serve the Lord. There are so many decisions every day that we need to make. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. You know, God wants us to make that decision if we've never trusted Christ today. How many people have you ever met and witnessed to that have said, I'll do it another day. I'll make that choice tomorrow, maybe some other time. And I was there. And I think I had a good reason. I was searching Pastor Friesen came over and was talking to us and asked me if I wanted to be saved. And I said, yes, I do. Well, do you want to get saved tonight? And I says, well, I want to be saved, but I want to make sure that the decision that I'm making is the right decision. Because I had other people that were telling me that I needed to be baptized to be saved, and that I could lose my salvation, and I could all these different things. And so I had different people telling me there's different ways to be saved. And I wasn't rejecting salvation. I just wanted to make sure I was making the right choice. And I think I did. Amen. I trusted Jesus Christ, who's the Savior of the world, not baptism and not anything else. And so, you know, certain decisions can be made today. We can choose to trust Jesus Christ. We can choose to do right. And I like what A.W. Tozer said. A.W. Tozer was a man of great spiritual insight. His penetrating writings have been profitable to many believers in exposing sin and directing them to a closer walk towards Christ. And Leonard Ravenhill once said about Tozer, he said, "I fear that we shall never see another Tozer. Men like him are not college-bred, but Spirit-taught people." And again, I have several Tozer books, and I enjoy his writings. He was a man of God. He had great insight, and some of his insight is what we're going to look at here. He says this, "It is essential that we be completely dedicated to God's high honor and surrendered to the lordship of Christ. God will not lead us except for His own glory, and He cannot lead us if we resist His will." In other words, we can't set our will against God's will. The shepherd cannot lead a stubborn sheep. Have you ever tried to lead a stubborn sheep or a stubborn animal? The evil practice of using God must be abandoned. We must submit ourselves joyously to God and let Him work through us to achieve His own ends. Now, granted that we are wholly committed to God with full intent to obey Him, we may expect actually to be led by Him. The scriptures that teach this are many, such as Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Amen? "And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." So, don't set your will against God. Just let God have His will in your life. And great, great verses there. It only remains for us to believe that they mean what they say, and that's God's promises and God's word. Just believe what they say. The choice that we make from day to day involves only four kinds of things. First of all, those concerning which God has said an emphatic no. We need to make those decisions every day. God has said no to certain things. And so we've got to say no where God says no about those things which God has emphatically said yes. We've got to say yes. And we look at those things concerning the things which He wants us to consult our own sanctified preferences. In other words, we have decisions to make every day. The God has left the decisions up to us. But we've got to make those decisions based on the leading of the Spirit of God and our sanctification as well. And then finally, those few matters which require special guidance from the Lord to prevent us from making serious mistakes. And again, decisions that are very serious, very important decisions, knowing that they're God's decisions. First of all, put this down as an unfair rule. Never seek the leading of the Lord concerning an act that is forbidden in God's world, or in God's word, sorry. We don't need to pray about certain things, or we don't need to ask, or we don't need to debate. This is a good rule. I was watching Sheffy there last week, and if you remember, if you've seen Sheffy, he's riding down the road one day, and he notices his family, and their cart's there, and the horse is dying. Sheffy said, "Well, don't worry, there's a town nearby. You can go and buy yourself another horse." And they said, "Well, we've only got $4. And he says, "Well, listen, let me go pray about it for a second." So he goes over, sits down, looks up at his horse. He said, "God, I don't need to pray about this." And the horse is already provided. You know the rest of the story. He gives this poor family his horse, and God provides him with another horse. But, you know, sometimes the decision's already made. We don't need to pray about it. And that's something, you know, we don't need to pray about something God has already given us the answer to. And when we think about His will. Again, prophet, psalmist, apostle, and our blessed Lord point out the way of positive obedience. His yoke is easy, His burden is light. So let this be the second rule. Never seek the leading of the Lord concerning an act already commanded in Scripture. Again, a happy truth too often overlooked is our anxious search for God's will, is that the majority of decisions touching our lives, God expresses no choice. He doesn't give us a choice, but allows us to choose our preferences. And some Christians walk uncertainly, worrying about which profession they should enter, which car they should drive, which school they should attend, where they should live, and other matters. The Lord has set Christians to follow their own personal bent, guided only by their love of Him and their fellow man. It appears more spiritual to seek God's leading than to do the obvious thing, but it is not. If God gave you a watch, would you honor Him more by asking Him for the time of day or by consulting your watch? God has given us many different things that we can use, and let's consult the watch that God gave us. Amen? And in other words, the decision's already been made. We don't need to seek God. There's many things in life that are, if you will, questionable. Many decisions that maybe are on the border of being right and being wrong. There are so many things out there that we can, you know, we can in our minds make decisions to do. Well, God doesn't really actually say that we're not supposed to do those things, but God has laid down principles, and He's also given us the Holy Spirit of God when it comes to certain things in our lives where we have to make those decisions. And in many of these decisions, there's a lot that is at stake. There's a lot that's at stake. Our reputation, our testimony, even the possibility of being lured into greater and more abominable sins if we choose certain courses. And a lot of times in life, there are two possible courses that we can take, two possible decisions that we can make. We have God's faithful promise that He will guide us in those decisions. And using our will for the right reason. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. God giveth to all men liberally, and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. God says, listen, if we don't know which way to go, if God gives us if life gives us two paths to follow, God says, listen, ask me, and I will give you wisdom. I will give you the answer, and I will allow you to know which way to go. Wouldn't it be nice if all of life's decisions were black and white? Wouldn't it be nice? I'm going to say this, first of all, though. We already have problems with the decisions that are black and white. Right? We do. We don't automatically, hey, God said no, so hey, I say no too. We wrestle with what God says no to. God says yes. And black and white, yes. And we say, you know, God, I know you say yes, but I really don't know if I want to do that today. I don't know if that's the way that I want to go. And then we got that gray, you know, area or those things maybe where there's a couple different ways we can go. And we've got to learn, in those instances, whether we're going to follow God. And whether we're going to follow God can be determined by those easy, what should be the easy decisions, the yes and no decisions. If we're following those okay, and we're Spirit-led, then when we get into this area of, again, multiple decisions that can be made in life, we're probably going to make the right ones because we're following God. So we need to start by saying, you know what, God, you've said it, I believe it, and I'm going to do it. You know, Jesus, I had a guy at my ordination, I remember I said that the Holy Spirit, in my statement of faith, that the Holy Spirit had a will. And he says, oh, I don't think that's right. The Holy Spirit doesn't have a will. I said, well, my Bible says he does. And Jesus Christ has a will. My Bible says he does. But their will is always the will of the Father's. Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. You see, Jesus Christ he had a will. And he became, as he has in every area of life, a perfect example for us to follow. And our prayer and desire should be the same as Jesus Christ, not my will, but thine be done. You know, that doesn't mean you can't get the car you like. It doesn't mean you can't, you know, buy the house you like or decide, you know, what tie you're going to wear or what shoes you're going to put on or when you're going to mow your grass or whether you're going to have shredded wheat or whether you're going to have Weetabix or some other really good, you know, Count Chocula, really good for you cereals. We can make those decisions. And as long as we're Spirit-led, hopefully they'll be the right decisions, but God's given us a will, but our will should be used for His glory. And so let's be like Christ. And let's say, listen, I know what I want to do. I know what I would maybe even rather do in certain areas of life. I know what road I want to go down. But let's allow the Lord to make that decision and do what He wants us to do. Because at the end of the day, we'll be glad we did it God's way. Amen? Following our own will, make our own decisions, usually ends up in ruin. Amen? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here today. And we each and every day have hundreds, yea, thousands of decisions, many very minor, unimportant decisions. But Lord, we usually have some important decisions to make every day. We should wake in every new day with a covenant in our hearts to follow the will of God. That in all those decisions, and even those major decisions, that we would follow God's will, and we would seek your counsel, and seek your way. Because we know that your way is the best way. Your yoke is easy, and your burden is light. That we would just trust you, and love you supremely. So blessed as we go into the morning service, and may you be honored and glorified. We'll thank you in Jesus' name.